just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. As we continue with season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, this is episode 32. Also, a shout out to Bill Curry Ford as they continue to write checks to winners of Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues. And also, I thank Brandon Legal Group for their continued support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Email for any fantasy question, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Please do not offer the lame question, I have A, B, C, D, and E, and must start to go. No, no, give me more than that, or you will not get the response you are looking for. If I do not get the type of question I am looking for, you will not get the response you are looking for. I've been answering all emails for years via the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, as I do that rather than answer on social media. So it's just you and I. I'd love for you to follow me on social media at ToddWright2121 on Instagram and on Twitter. In this episode 32, as it is Wednesday afternoon, so it's early, but I'm going to do a look ahead at week 2 games. A couple of Monday night games this week. I was recently asked, why are there 2 Monday night games on week 2, one on ESPN, one on ABC, rather than week 1, which has been in the past? My guess is that because the NFL gave the Thursday night game was going to be a marquee game. The Sunday night game was going to be a marquee game. Both CBS and Fox had double headers week 1. So there were some marquee elements to that part of the schedule. I think ESPN was given the option to wait until week 2 to do sort of a split broadcast with 2 signature games. Let's see the teams. Yeah, not bad, right? Not bad. Because they had more to choose from than they would have in week 1. I don't know this for a fact. As Bill Maher would say, I just know it to be true. So let's do, we'll get this posted by Thursday. And if you don't listen to it until Friday or Saturday or Sunday morning, then don't worry about it. But I will give you a thought on Chargers and Chiefs, the first ever Amazon Prime streaming National Football League regular season game. From the Chargers side, I guess the most significant thing is the Keenan Allen injury and how this could potentially impact Josh Palmer. I have invested in Josh Palmer for the week. Not sure if I'm starting him, but it's an option considering how Justin Herbert is going to throw the ball around. From the Chiefs standpoint, the Isaiah Pacheco production came in garbage time. It was Clyde Edwards-Helaire who did more of the significant work. You don't care if you're a fantasy owner, but that tempers your expectations if you own or picked up Pacheco in terms of what he's going to do if the game is close this week. Again, I have said in previous podcasts, CEH was modestly impressive later in the season last year for the Chiefs. It's been a real odd ride with Clyde Edwards-Helaire the first 2 years in the NFL. Game 3 was an encouraging first sign. You'll certainly take the 2 touchdowns. As someone who's invested in Juju Smith-Schuster, I would have taken one, but CEH got 2 of them. All right, Sunday 1 o'clock games, Patriots and Steelers. from the Patriots standpoint, looks like a pretty even timeshare between Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Not a lot happening offensively in the passing game for the Patriots, as we still wonder if they need an actual offensive coordinator. And can you add one now, or are you stuck with what you're doing? As Bill Belichick called it, sort of a work in progress. Steelers, Najee Harris, keep checking status there. He's playing hurt. He's behind a bad offensive line. You know, the Steelers still won, right, last week. That was an odd game. Yeah, they did win it at Cincinnati. But as far as the passing game, I don't take a lot out of anything from week one. You're just worried about Harris. And I don't think a waiver pickup of the backup, I can't even give you his name. I saw it. I just don't think it's significant until further notice at this point. It feels like Najee will play, and if he doesn't, I don't know that any backup running back for the Steelers to Najee Harris is fantasy relevant. Panthers and Giants for Carolina. Christian McCaffrey was okay getting you double-digit points week one. Not a huge workload. I'm not getting excited about Robbie Anderson. It was one long pass on a busted coverage. Not rushing to the waiver wire there. Giants, Saquon Barkley. If you invested in Saquon Barkley, that's what you were looking for. And you got more than you could have expected. And you can only hope Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka continue calling his name that much. Jets and Browns. You know I'm anti-Jets from an entire fantasy standpoint. There's not much to change my mind after one game. I did find it comical that Greg Zuerlein wasted no time missing an extra point with his new team, just like he did in Dallas last year. From the Browns standpoint, I've told you for years, Chubb, Hunt, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt are fantasy-worthy starting running backs as long as they are healthy, especially on a team coached by Kevin Stefanski. Colts at Jaguars. From the Colts standpoint, they're off good games for Taylor, for Pittman. Nothing that exciting waiver-wise for the Colts. Jaguars, it was the volume for James Robinson, which we touched on before last week's game, which is why I drafted him in one of my leagues when Doug Peterson said, yeah, he'll be active week one, ready to go. Looked ready to go to me. A big game for Christian Kirk. He does these things. And then he doesn't show up for a few weeks, so we'll keep an eye on it. Dolphins at Ravens. Dolphins starting two, I think, offensive tackles are banged up. There was nothing really exciting out of their running game in their week one win against the Patriots. Tyreek Hill is obviously the number one guy in that passing offense, even though Jaylen Waddle got the touchdown on a fourth and long aggressive call by the new head coach in Miami. That's all that's really going on there. Ravens, it was the Drake. Seinfeld reference. Hate the Drake, love the Drake. It was the Drake who was clearly the number one back, but the Ravens did most of their work through the air, and it wasn't necessarily Andrews. It was Duvernay, who may be the new Hollywood Brown for Lamar Jackson, who had a very solid week one against a very shitty team. I own Kenyon Drake, and at this point, I have no plans to play him. But if you want a starting running back, he's a starting running back until J.K. Dobbins is healthy enough to play, and I don't know how long Dobbins can stay healthy, and then they have Gus Edwards on PUP. It just seems to be a continual revolving door in Baltimore. Buccaneers at Saints. At the time of this taping, the Chris Godwin thing feels iffy. You know, he played in the Dallas game, then he hurt his hamstring in the Dallas game. This could mean that Russell Gage has more than just a fantasy appearance as he had in the Dallas game. Keep checking status there. I own Gage in a league. At this point, I'm not planning to play him, even if Godwin is out. Julio Jones, yeah, sure. That was a positive week one. I don't know how long Julio Jones can keep this up. I don't think, oh, this is, see, it's the old Julio Jones. That was one game. One game, caught one big pass, was open a couple other times. Talked to fans in Atlanta about the 2020 season in Tennessee and the 2021 season and asked them how much of this they saw on a week-to-week basis. From the Saints' standpoint, Jarvis Landry caught a lot of balls. You know, Michael Thomas had the two touchdowns. So I'm not ready to say, oh, Michael Thomas is back. I wish I had drafted him. Or Jarvis Landry was very heavily involved in the passing offense for Jameis Winston. Alvin Kamara was not that involved. They're now citing a rib injury. You know, I just looked at last year and said Kamara is trending down. And some key snaps taken by Taysom Hill. And he busted a long run as well. Commanders at Lions. Carson Wentz and the Washington passing offense had a really good week one, and I doubt anyone benefited from it. This week, Curtis Samuel's a big-time waiver pickup if he wasn't drafted. I didn't get him based on draft orders. He has problems staying healthy, but he also had four carries, Debo-like there. But he's done this before. The problem is him staying healthy and staying on the field. I did pick up Dotson in one of my leagues. You know, Wentz went to him for the game-winning touchdown. It was his second of the game. He wasn't heavily involved with the passing game, but I don't think they're taking Dotson off the field very much. I don't believe in Carson Wentz, but Dotson obviously was a very coveted rookie wide receiver out of Penn State. From the Lions' standpoint, they put up a bunch of points. To me, it's all about DeAndre Swift. And if you invested in Swift, he paid off week one, so you keep playing him until he gets hurt. Seahawks at 49ers. From a Seahawks standpoint, Penny certainly looked like a starting fantasy running back for you from week one to week two. DK Metcalf was involved enough. And that's kind of where it ends for me with relevant Seahawk fantasy players. I didn't see a ton of the game. I was at the Coronado Springs Resort at Walt Disney World, which has a decent sports bar called Rick's. Find a bartender named Frenchie and sit at the bar and talk to her if you need to watch a football game while you're at the Walt Disney World Resort. She's very nice. And they have Blanton's to pour at a decent price for Disney and Blanton's purposes. 49ers. Eli Mitchell already hurt. This reminds me of Mostert getting hurt first game last year, also a knee injury. Sucks. Eli Mitchell, good player, just can't seem to stay healthy enough. So next man up for the 49ers is Jeff Wilson. He's done the job in the past. The 49ers don't seem to have anyone else who would challenge Jeff Wilson, but Trey Lance is running the ball. Maybe he shouldn't be as much. And Debo got plenty of chances as a wide receiver to rush the football last week. That was very significant as a carryover from last year. Falcons and Rams, as we're now into the late afternoon games for week two. That was a big-time fantasy performance for Marcus Mariota. Albeit in a losing effort, he had a key fumble inside the five-yard line late in the game. I just don't think he stays healthy. That's the book on Mariota. If I knew he was going to stay healthy, I would have picked him up on waivers this week, and I'd probably play him this week against the Rams. Granted, it's the Rams defense. That's going to be a very angry Rams team. From the Rams standpoint, it's now the Falcon defense and not the Bills defense. So stay patient with Matt Stafford and Allen Robinson, and obviously McVay was trying to get Akers' attention. Cardinals, Raiders. Cardinals, bad first week. An unnamed wide receiver led them in catches. I don't think you can put a lot into that. James Conner didn't give you a lot, but he's still one of their best offensive options, and not much else. Cliff Kingsbury said, "Yeah, we need to practice and play better." It's because he now apparently can't say it about Kyler Murray because Kyler gets pissed off. Raiders, yeah, it was all Devontae Adams pretty much week one for the Raiders. McDaniels and Carr are going to need to spread that out a little bit more. They did use Josh Jacobs, clearly more than any other back. Didn't get it done on a red line, a red zone touch near the goal line. Only, what, two or three receptions for Hunter Renfro. Saw some of the tape. He looked open. Give it time with Renfro. I don't think his numbers will go down as much as some others who said, yeah, this was obviously going to happen. Come on. McDaniels has worked with a lot of receivers like a built like a Hunter Renfro and has turned them into big-time stars. Texans at Broncos. Here we go with loser Lovie Smith. He didn't lose, but he blew, what, a 20-3 lead, 20-6, 27, whatever it was in the fourth quarter against the Colts. So his Texans tenure appropriately begins with not a win, but a game you should have won. And as a result of your tie, the other team fired their kicker. The loser Lovie Smith said, "Oh, yeah, we wanted to get Damian Pierce more involved, but that kind of got away from us." You're the head frickin' coach. If you don't see him on the field, you whisper to Pep Hamilton, "You know, why aren't we playing Damian Pierce in the game?" So not surprised by the comments from loser Lovie Smith. No, I'm not rushing to the waiver wire to get Rex Burkhead. I'm still anti-Texans, although Brandon Cooks had another very serviceable wide receiver 2/3 fantasy game. Broncos. You know, Williams and Gordon put up numbers last year. They put up numbers in game one, Gordon especially. Judy had a good game. Broncos still lost. I still don't know what to make of the Broncos. Give me another week or two. Coach taking a lot of heat for trying a 64-yard field goal. Instead of going for it on 4th and 5 with Russell Wilson. I don't know where I stand on that. I don't think either would have worked. Bengals at Cowboys. Feels like T. Higgins is going to go. So if you rush to get Tyler Boyd, I told you, I had drafted Tyler Boyd on a hedge that Higgins or Chase were going to get hurt this year. Higgins already concussed once, but looks like he's going to go week two. So everything is still standard for the Bengals with... You know, Chase had a good game. Mixon got a lot of volume. You're just happy Higgins is probably going to play. Cowboys, I get that some of you who invested in Cowboys are already dumping them or considering dumping them. Look, I think the Cowboys season is shot, but from a fantasy standpoint, there's still going to be some value here with some guys. All right, but I told you, I cautioned you from a Cowboys standpoint and a fantasy standpoint. What did I say about CeeDee Lamb? It's not automatic. You can go from a wide receiver 2 to a wide receiver 1. Game 1, he caught 2 balls of no significance, 11 targets. I told you targets mean nothing. If you had CeeDee Lamb, how are those 11 targets looking for you? 11 targets. Exciting? Yeah. How many points did that get you? The CeeDee Lamb game proves a lot of my points. I'm not right on everything. I can't be. But I'm right on a couple of things with the target, with how targets don't score you points. And at least for one game, Lamb didn't look like a wide receiver 1, did he? Bears-Packers is the Sunday night game. Looks like that Bears coaching staff knows Khalil Herbert is tough to take down on first contact. I mean, David Montgomery is a very good player, but so is Herbert. Interesting timeshare there. I've been a Khalil Herbert fan. I like watching Herbert run the football. He pushes people. He goes forward. Not an implication of David Montgomery. I like Montgomery too. Bears won the game sort of in an odd spot, weird weather day, new Bermuda grass in Chicago. Still not into the Justin Fields thing, sorry. Packers. No Alan Lazard, nobody else. Watson dropped what would have been a 70-yard touchdown, perfectly thrown by Rodgers. Maybe Rodgers checked out after that. I didn't watch a lot of the game. A.J. Dillon, good workload for those like me who invest in him. If you're an Aaron Jones owner, yeah, you're a little worried. But it's not like they're going to bench Aaron Jones. And if you have no receivers who can catch the ball, you got to get the most you can out of these two backs until Aaron Rodgers finds somebody who will catch the ball that he can trust to run the right route. The Monday night games, Titans at Bills. There are some fingers being pointed at Derrick Henry saying, this is why he wasn't worth being drafted second after Jonathan Taylor. Pump the brakes on that. Just like I told some to pump the brakes on Anthony Richardson of Florida being a Heisman candidate after he beat Utah. And then Kentucky got the game tape, and now Anthony Richardson's not a Heisman candidate. Derrick Henry basically was vultured for two touchdowns by Hilliard. The volume was there. He didn't break a long one, but he doesn't do that every game. First game of the season, like enough of what I saw. There are some aberrations game to game, not just first game. Somebody named Phillips had there was some stat about like 40% of his routes he got thrown to. I'm not picking him up. I don't think he's significant. Bills, they couldn't have looked much better on Monday night, although James Cook didn't. But Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, yeah, they paid off for you. Vikings at Eagles is the other game from the Vikings standpoint. It was all Justin Jefferson, although if you did pick Dalvin Cook in the first round or maybe early second round, you're not complaining. Not at all. Eagles, four different guys have rushing touchdowns. What was it? Scott, Gainwell, Sanders, and Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is still the guy. More than any of the other four when it comes to getting you rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. And A.J. Brown, a huge debut. That's it. We're done. Any other questions as it relates to your fantasy team? Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening to episode 32 in season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.